Hi, welcome to another edition of the PCRF podcast. My name is Dave Page, and I'm a paramedic instructor with Inver Hills Community College. I'm here with
Marshall Washick, paramedic with Health East Medical Transportation here in St. Paul, Minnesota.
And I'm Keith Wesley, the medical director for Health East Medical Transportation here in St. Paul.
So we're going to talk about dashboards here. Dr. McLeod and company have a nice paper in Society for Academic Emergency Medicine, SAEM, in late 2010 here. They're looking at matching capacity to demand. A regional dashboard reduces ambulance avoidance and improves accessibility of receiving hospitals. So what they looked at is this, within the context of ambulance diversions, they were interested in finding a way to better manage which patients go to which hospitals. And they used a regional emergency patient access and coordination, or REPAC, program to enhance the flow of patients in the emergency department. And after implementation, they conclude that, in fact, implementing a system in which the dispatcher is able to, or at least a medical control type of flow control person who directs ambulances to go to one hospital or another, was able to better manage this. And their conclusion is proactive EMS destination selection through a real-time integrated electronic surveillance system enhances the regional capacity of flow management. So it worked. They're saying, you know, if you can manage the patient flow from a single computer system, so all of the hospitals were tied in with a dispatcher, and the dispatcher was able to, in real time, see what bed availability there is at any one particular hospital, that you will reduce the number of patients that get diverted from one direction or another, and the right patients will go to the right facilities. What I think is particularly incredible for this system is that the EMS dispatcher, or EMS communications person in charge of this REPAC, is able to see bed counts inside emergency departments of all different types. So each one of these hospitals had to agree to be part of this computer system and keep very close tabs, or else they had to integrate all the computers from all of the different hospitals into this one system so that in real time you could see if beds were available or moved. You moved patients into those beds, what was the bed count availability. I think most of us in Minnesota don't really feel the pinch like in other parts of the country, where diversion is a real big problem. We have it occasionally, but it's not really, it doesn't seem like it jumps to our radar. I think this concept of having an EMS system that's integrated with the hospitals so that load capacities can be assessed in real time is real interesting and apparently quite effective. What do you guys think?
Well, Dave, I would agree. I thought this study was really interesting. And nothing against our neighbors to the north, but, you know, I think this is the result of a more socialized healthcare system than we do here, have here in the States. I know we have a large number of hospitals here in the Twin Cities metro area with various HMOs. You know, if a patient wants to go to St. Joe's or St. Joe's Hospital or Regents Hospital, you know, they have that choice, whereas this paper doesn't really seem to allow for that. If you know, based on the bed availability and the acuity level of the patient, they have to go to one hospital regardless if they want to go there or not. At least that's what I was able to get out of this.
Yeah, and the hospitals can't hide in this particular model. they reduced their EMS avoidance is a nice kind way to put we just sort of the hospital just decides we're going to avoid ambulances for a little bit. So they had a 4.4%.
Those Canadians, they're just a bunch of nice people up there.
They are nice people.
They just avoid.
The hospitals just kind of go, yeah, we're on avoidance mode.
Maybe it's avoid us. EMS, please avoid us for the next half hour or hour.
I do love that.
I like that. They're nice people. They
yes.
are very friendly. That's why we never have to worry about them attacking us. it'll never happen.
Gosh, from socialized medicine, we went to military might. Or lack thereof, or not military aggressiveness.
I agree. I think this would work if we could overcome the barriers that we have in being in hospitals, being able to share information, and then we live in the society of. And whether is this a HIPAA violation for the or not, and what kind of issues do you have to have in the protection of your patients that you're going to actually assign them to a bed in a hospital, and your computer system is going to be integrated with their computer system? In a sense, we actually do have a system like that here in Minnesota called MinTrack that is administered by the Department of Public Health and is designed primarily to be used in the case of a disaster. On MinTrack, you can pull it up at any time. And you remember we used that a year and a half ago with the Fargo floods in Fargo, North Dakota. And that, we used MinTrack to decide where we were going to send patients. Unfortunately, it got sabotaged by the CEO of one hospital who made it look like they could take more patients than they could. So a system like this only works if there is openness and transparency. I mean, that's the buzzword for the last couple of years. And it's a real issue on the patient autonomy. The only ones that were protocolized to one particular hospital were the STEMIs, the stroke codes, and the traumas, and they went to that one single primary receiving facility, and then there were two other tertiary receiving facilities that are pretty high volume ERs, 200 visits a day, busy ERs. This was in Calgary. But the issue of how often did they not take a patient to the hospital that they wanted to go to? And maybe that's not even an issue in EMS in Calgary. I don't know. It's certainly a big issue in EMS in St. Paul, and I imagine it's the same elsewhere, where in many states it's your insurance that decides where you're going to go.
I agree, and I think this doesn't necessarily address some of the insurance issues and payment issues, and maybe it is a little bit part of the concept of socialized medicine. They do allude to some similar projects in Rochester, New York, and I think in Amsterdam. So I am very interested in how this could be implemented in a project in the U.S., and maybe somebody would give that a try and show us if a dashboard idea could work, if hospitals would actually report these things truthfully and tell us who is or who is not. They didn't really change anything that the hospitals were doing other than just reporting what they had.
They didn't really tell us what decides what they described as favorable and unfavorable status. So if a hospital had favorable status, they could accept patients. If they're in the unfavorable status, it wasn't that they were in that divert or avoidance mode, but they were getting close. And who decided those numbers? And so if one hospital begins to kind of say, well, no, we can take this, we can take that. Was there an objective criteria applied? Because you and I know, even here in St. Paul, some ERs will go on divert at the drop of a hat, and we walk into another ER seeing the same patient volume, and they're just busily moving along, seeing patients going, just another day at St. Paul. So the even the decision that we found face in the cities on why do hospitals go on divert sometimes is very arbitrary.
And provider dependent, I think.
Exactly. It depends on who's working and their perception of how busy and tied down they are. So that's why some states have actually outlawed divert.
Kudos to these authors for taking the initiative to actually do operational EMS research. I think we get focused on drugs or cardiac arrest or any number of they're medical issues, but we don't really get into the operational research. And kudos to them for getting it published in SAEM. That's a prestigious journal, and they've done a very nice job of getting this out. So thank you, and thanks for tuning in to another edition of these PCRF podcasts.